Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Successful Woman Radio Show, brought to you by WomenAboutBiz.com, empowering you with the tools and resources to start and grow your very own business. Happy Monday, everyone. This is Trina Moody, your host and success coach, broadcasting to you live this Monday, April 29th, 2013, and as always, bringing you inspiration, motivation, and ways to make your business, your dreams, and your very own ideas a success. I've got a great show lined up for you today, ladies. Whitney Johnson, best-selling author of the book Dare, Dream, Do, will be with us today, giving us some insight on pursuing your dreams and goals. So you'll definitely want to have your pen and notepad handy. And for those of you driving or tuning in from work, well, I'll try my best to have some good show notes up for you later today. Well, springtime is surely here, and I can hear the birds chirping outside my office window, and the flowers are blooming beautifully here in Atlanta, GA. It's surely a reminder to me, and I hope that it will be a reminder to you, that change is inevitable, and it takes place whether we want it to or not. So, ladies, it's time for you to be in control of your change. It's time for you to do some deep thinking about your life and your business, because that's so very, very important. Also, it's time for us to not just ask ourselves questions, but it's time for us to really understand the importance of literally taking swift and immediate action on everything that we want to do in our lives at this time. We've got, again, a great show lineup for you today. I'm going to share some happenings at Women About Biz, a book excerpt if we have time, from Napoleon Hill's book. And also, again, we have a wonderful featured guest, Whitney Johnson, best-selling author of the book Dare, Dream, Do. So now is the time for you to click over and share today's broadcast with another friend, a business associate, someone that you know needs motivation. They need inspiration for their week. Have them to dial into 347-637-2589. Again, have them to dial into 347-637-2589. And, of course, you can listen to the show from the comfort of your desktop, laptop, or your smart devices by simply going to blogtalkradio.com/successfulwomanradio. Again, simply by going to blogtalkradio.com/successfulwomanradio. Again, I want to thank everyone for being on the show today. And, you know, make sure that throughout the show you just go ahead when you have the opportunity and flash over on another line. Well, I want to ask you a very, very important question. And this question is so very important today because the show is centered all this month around daring to dream and doing things that you know that you need to do for your business. So my question to you is, are you giving yourself the one-hour gift that we've been talking about on the show since January of this year? Now, for those of you that are new to Successful Woman Radio, the one-hour gift is basically providing yourself the space to take at least 1 hour of personal time to look at how your day will be successful. And I want to just quickly give you the five important questions during this 1 hour that you really need to ask yourself. Here goes. Number one, what results would I like to see in my life and my business today? Now, this question is very important, and I've had a lot of people to email me and to share with me that, you know, they have a little bit of a hiccups with this question sometimes. It's okay. What you need to understand about this question is that your answers can vary and it can be different sometimes from day to day, because this question helps you to work closer and dig deeper to what it is that you really want in life, and that's what's so very, very important. Here's number two. Have I reviewed my calendar and schedule today? And, of course, as I always say, this is so simple, but yet sometimes it's the most simple of things that really make it difficult for us to take action on for whatever reason. And this happens to be one of them. I can't begin to tell you of the women that I have talked to since I've been sharing these questions that have said that they have not been looking at their calendars or their schedules. I've even had people to share with me that they've gone weeks or months without looking at their calendar or schedule. But you see, this question is very important because if you are structuring your life, if you're paying attention to the time that is being allotted you every day, you really need to look at how you are utilizing that time. Remember, time is going to keep moving by whether you use it or not. But once it has passed you by, there is nothing that you can do about it. The only thing that you can do is learn your lesson by really trying to utilize your time in the best way possible the next time you get your allotted hours, okay? Number three, are my business activities on the schedule contributing to my goals for the week? Now, this continues to be a really deep question for many of us who know how it is to be busy being busy without actually accomplishing your dreams and your goals. So it's very, very important that you just not rush with this question, but that you really set your time planner right next to you. And as you ask that question, look at the activities that are on your schedule, which is so very, very important. The reason why you need to do this, again, is because when you set your goal for the week, there should be to-do items that are supporting those goals. This is what's going to help you accomplish those goals. And then, of course, you need to also pay attention to if there are any challenges to those to-do items, because you need to address those right away. I think sometimes as women, it is our stubbornness sometimes, and sometimes it's that procrastination that gets in our way from really paying attention to what's presenting a challenge. We'll write activities in our calendars, and then the next thing you know, we basically will start trying to do that activity in support of the goal and find that we can't do it. Maybe we don't have the skill or the support, the tools or the resources, but those are things that we should have taken into account when we were reviewing the activities. So again, number three is a very, very important question. Let's take a look at question number four as we give ourselves a one-hour gift and ask ourselves these questions. Who do I need to follow up with today? Now, this is my favorite question that I ask myself, and here's why. Because a lot of the times we don't realize that follow-up is just such a pivotal part of business success, life success. But every day you should have things that you follow up with that are very important. And if you are a businesswoman, there is no way that you can say, I don't have anyone to follow up with. It's almost impossible to say that to yourself. One of the reasons why is because I continue to encourage all of you who are longtime listeners that every day as solo entrepreneurs, it's very, very important for you to follow up and talk to at least 3 to 5 new connections daily. That's very, very important. At the end of the year, you will have noticed that you will have talked to anywhere between 700 and 1,200 people if you stick with and be consistent with that rule. And that's something that I have done. It has led me over the years to have thousands of new connections in my database and people that I meet and talk with. And you'd be very, very surprised at all of the blessings that come from you taking this type of first step. So I think that you really need to pay attention to this particular question. Slow it down, right? You want to slow that question down, and you want to make sure, okay, that you are doing everything that you can to connect with new people and discover all of the wonderful things that others have to offer to you and in your life. So make sure that you do that. And last but not least, we are going to look at question number 5. What results have I seen in my marketing? What results have I seen in my marketing? Now, this question is also very, very important. And the reason why it's important is because if you have a marketing strategy that you have been actively putting in place and then it's not working, you're not seeing any results. And what results should you be seeing? Well, the whole purpose of marketing is to attract others to what you have to offer by sharing with them the benefits of utilizing your services or products, right? So if you're not getting phone calls or if you're not getting emails with questions or if you're not getting people that are interested in what you have to offer, if people aren't clicking on your coupon offers and your e-newsletters, then there is some disconnect somewhere. And so it's very, very important that you realize that you've got to go back and you've got to tweak your marketing plan. And if necessary, sit down with a marketing consultant that can help you. You know, one of the things that I have realized over the years being in business for so long is that you don't have to be alone. Whenever there is something that you feel that you need to do to help your business to grow, stop trying to do it yourself or by yourself and get the help of someone who has the talent and who specializes in a particular area that you need help with. This is something that I think as women we have a tendency to do all of the time. We try to be that multitasker. We try to be that mother to our business, nurturing our business, not wanting anyone else to hold our baby, right? And at the same time, we're not making the changes quick enough so that we can see the growth in our businesses. So this is a very important question, and it will tell you very, very honestly and quickly whether or not you need to make changes in your marketing or whether you need a marketing plan altogether. It is 12 minutes after the hour, and this is Trina Newby, your host and success coach at Successful Woman Radio. And for those of you that have just tuned in, you are in for a real treat because we will be having Whitney Johnson. She is author of the best-selling book, Dare, Dream, Do. Remarkable things happen when you dare to dream, she says. So I am very, very excited about having Whitney on the show. Before I bring Whitney on, again, I want to encourage everyone to go ahead and flash over to another line and share the show with others who need to hear this information. There are thousands of women all over the world who are sitting in their homes right now, who are lonely, who know that there's something bigger than them that they want to do, but they just don't know how to get it done. There are friends that have shared with you that they want to pursue a particular dream. Well, this is the show that you need to let them know about. This is the one. Again, you can have them to dial into 347-637-2589. Again, 347-637-2589. At this time, I'd like to go ahead and read to you Whitney's bio. Whitney Johnson is a leading thinker on driving innovation via personal disruption, and she's the co-founder of Clayton Christensen's investment firm, Rose Park Advisors. Ms. Johnson is a frequent contributor to the Harvard Business Review and the author of the best-selling book, Dare, Dream, Do, Remarkable Things Happen When You Dare to Dream. She is listed on Inc. Magazine's 12 People to Follow on Twitter in 2012 and Business Insider's 54 Smart Thinkers Everyone Should Follow on Twitter. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce to all of you on the show listening, Whitney Johnson. Whitney, welcome to Successful Woman Radio.
Thank you, Trina. I'm delighted to be here.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Whitney, as I shared with you, I recently read your book while on vacation in the beautiful Cancun, Mexico, and it was the perfect place to read the book. Beautiful breeze, palm trees, the ocean flowing through, and my mind, of course, was all clear. And so I just received all of the blessings that your book had to offer, and I'm sure there are many more blessings as I continue to go back over Dare Dream Do. Whitney, share with us your story of how you arrived to write the book Dare Dream Do. How did this all begin for you?
It began about 6 or 7 years ago, actually. Sometimes people think that writing a book is something that we sort of furiously dash off, but for me it was a very organic process. I had gone to Wall Street, and just give a little bit of my backstory. I had gone to Wall Street in the late 90s and with my husband so he could study for his PhD at Columbia University. And having arrived there, I decided I wanted to work on Wall Street. But as a music major, I basically couldn't do anything other than start as the secretary, which is what I did. So 20 years later, I had risen from secretary to investment banker, become an equity analyst, and now was taking a sabbatical and was just so happy that I've been able to achieve this dream that I had. And I found myself no longer working 80 hours a week and having conversations with other women who were bright, interesting, and intelligent, and asking them, what's your dream? And I was surprised when many of them would say to me, well, I don't have a dream, or I'm not sure how to do my dream. And too frequently, there was an unspoken, I'm not sure it's my privilege to dream. And I just remember thinking, how can this be? These are supremely capable women. They're the women that when things happen and everything works, no one exactly knows what they're doing, but we all know that it's because they were around that things worked. And so in 2006, I said, I need to build a case for dreaming. I need to persuade women that it's our privilege to dream. And so I started blogging. And once a week, I would write a post about why we need to dream. And so over the course 2006 to 2009, I would blog pretty much on a weekly basis. I started inviting people to share their stories of their dreams. And then in 2009 or so, I was asked to actually write a book. But that blog was initially the inspiration for the book.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I like when you talked about the fact that you supported your husband in moving with him to actually pursue his career. And so I read that you were the breadwinner a little for a while. You had to bring in a larger salary to help out with the family, correct?
Yes, that's absolutely right. And I think, one of the things that's really interesting to me is as I go back and I reflect on my life, and I think most women will reflect on their lives, is that some of our most important dreams come out of or are the consequence of our having attended to the dreams of others. As with my husband, I went to New York for him. I never would have gone to New York on my own. I needed to support him in his dream, and as a consequence, I had this dream come that I wanted to work on Wall Street.
Wow, that's wonderful. Tell us a little bit about the book itself. Can you give us kind of like what was your main goal? What did you want women to receive from writing this book?
Well, interestingly, when I first started writing it, I thought, okay, well, I want to inspire them to dream. Here's why you need to dream. You need to dream because it helps you make meaning of your life. You need to dream because it's important to find your voice, because when you find your voice, you know that you're getting to the essence of who you are. You need to dream because your children need to see you dream. But as I started to progress, I realized that a lot of the people that were actually going to pick up the book were already sort of persuaded that they needed to dream. So then the question was, okay, well, how do I actually figure out what my dream is? And then how do I do my dream? So it's in three parts. The first part is why you need to dare to dream. The second part is, all right, I'm persuaded that I need to dare. Now, I don't know what my dream is, so I focus on how do you figure out what your dream is? And then the third section, I focus on, all right, pulling from my business experience, how do you actually execute and do a dream? And so it's divided into those three parts. I have some practical tips, and then I also share stories of women who are in the process of dreaming, because I didn't want this book to be a book of, okay, here's how I dreamed, and therefore how you should do it. I wanted to really make the point that dreaming is a process, and so I have about 750 word essays of women who talk about their process of dreaming, so that it could really be focused on the process as opposed to my story.
Wonderful. And I'm glad that you did it that way, because as I began to read about the stories of some of the women, I could definitely identify and share some of the things that they were saying. I found myself bobbing my head up and down, identifying with what they were saying. The title "Dare, Dream, Do" is wonderful. Talk about the title. Did that come very easily? Did you come up with the title first?
No, I didn't actually. In fact, the title initially was "Dare to Dream," and because that's the title of my blog, and I didn't even realize until someone later said to me, "Well, you know, Dare to Dream is from the song 'Somewhere Over the Rainbow,'" which I was like, "Oh, you know, it was kind of just in the air." But when it was time to title the book, my publisher said to me, "Well, you know, there are other books out there called Dare to Dream, and so I think if you keep that title, it's going to get lost." And so she said, you know, let's see if we can come up with something else. And so when we were brainstorming, we just somehow came up with Dare, Dream, Do. So it was really a brainstorm with my publisher, which was perfect because then it created, really a framework for the entire book and for the actual process of making a dream happen.
I know that one thing that that made me do a double take back in your book, and I'm going to quote you from the book here. You say, "To my surprise, when I asked women what they dreamed of doing, many responded, 'I don't have a dream,' or 'I don't know that my dreams are within reach.' Many felt that it wasn't their privilege to dream." Can you expand on that a little bit? What is your opinion of that? Was that you were saying that's very surprising to you?
It was surprising to me because I was having an experience where I had gone to New York and I decided that I wanted to achieve something, and then I'd achieved it. And so here I was now, early 40s. And so I suppose that this idea of having a dream and achieving it was a rite of passage that all women go through. And so when I started to have these conversations and discovered that it wasn't a rite of passage, or at least they didn't perceive it to be such, it didn't make sense to me, especially because I was talking to women who were educated, who were really smart, who I would watch them and just be so impressed by how capable they were. And so that's what surprised me.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Whitney, I would venture to say that a lot of us as women, we are so good with multitasking and at the same time hiding our feelings and others might think that, you know, we have it all put together. But sometimes deep beneath, there are things that we want out of life that we have big questions about and we don't even have the slightest idea of how to make it happen. But it's okay if we learn to reach out to others, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And one thing that I would love to talk about this piece of reaching out, but I'd like to go back for just a moment because I think there's an important piece here is that I'm an equal opportunity dreamer, which means I think a dream of starting a business is an equally important dream to, meaning doing something for yourself is equally important as having a dream to be a mother and have a house.
Exactly.
So I am not advocating for either one. And in fact, one of the things that I think is really important and you'll read in the book is that I subscribe to, you know, Carl Jung, the developmental psychology, that each person has a feminine and a masculine piece to themselves. And the masculine is the ability to wield power, and the feminine is the ability to nurture. And that every man and every woman has to develop these characteristics in order to become a human being. And so for men, it tends to be more instinctive to be able to wield power or be a ship. And they have to learn how to be a harbor. And for women, it tends to be more instinctive to be a harbor, and we have to learn how to be a ship. And so what I'm advocating for in this book is that we need to, as women, if we're really good at becoming a harbor and attending to others and the needs of our spouse and our children and everyone we love, there's another piece of us that we also need to develop, which is the ship and having a dream that's about us. Just because it's about us and we're important.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for just expanding on that and helping us to understand that. Because, you know, I've had a lot of women to share with me that, you know, I'm not a leader, Trina. You know, when I talk to them about pursuing their dreams or pursuing their goals, they'll come to me and say, you know, I've often thought about starting a business, but I didn't start a business because I'm not a leader or I'm not a salesperson. Or, you know, they just automatically, Whitney, start off in a negative way about what they don't have the capabilities to do. And I like the fact that you brought out that each of us are born with the capability to be, you know, to be that leader.
Right, absolutely. And I think, and the thing that I would emphasize here, and we talked about this or touched on it a minute ago, of this idea of it not being our privilege to dream, which goes to this idea of, you know, I can start this or start that. One of the things that happens for young girls is that from a very young age, we are socialized to believe that we are only feminine when we're doing something for someone else, whether it's you know, they're talking and we're listening, we're, you know, fetching something for them, we're giving them praise, you know, giving them money, whatever it is. And so that puts us in this really tough place, because whenever you dream, by definition, you're doing something for you. And so little girls' dreams and ambitions and gifts aren't quite as important as little boys. And yet we all know in the deepest part of ourselves that that's not actually true, that our dreams and ambitions are equally as important as those of a little boy's. And so when we can get to that point, then when we have those feelings of, oh, I'm being kind of naughty because I want to do this, we say, oh, that's society. That's actually not truth. That's not real. And so we can reject it and start to say, all right, I'm feeling naughty because I want to start a business, but it doesn't mean I'm not a leader. It just may mean that I don't know how to do this, because you and I both know that a person who parent well is absolutely a leader.
Absolutely. Now, so this is good, because this has set the foundation for the next question I want to ask you, which is, okay, so how does a woman begin or start her dream process?
Great question. So I would say if you already know what your dream is, or you have an idea of what it might be, say you've got three or four ideas kind of flitting around in your mind of like, oh, I think I'd like to do this or this or this, what I would say is write those down. And then dreaming is very much a discovery-driven process. So it's not, you know, I make a checklist and then I'm done. It's like, okay, I'm going to take a step forward, I'm going to gather feedback, and then I'll figure out what I'm going to do. And with dreaming, you actually get to date dreams. And so there's, you know, there's a no-commitment clause. So what I would say is pick, you know, write those five things down and then say to yourself, okay, I'm going to date each one of these. I'm going to date them for 5 minutes, meaning I'm going to speed date them. And what will happen is those five dreams, you will discover that probably three of them, you're like, oh, actually, I don't really want to do that. I thought I did, but I don't. And so you'll set those aside. You'll winnow it down. You'll have two that you think, okay, I'm still interested. I don't know that, yes, I definitely want to do it, but I don't know that I don't. So you say, okay, now I'm going to date that for 10 minutes. I mean, just think of the courtship process. You do 10 minutes, and you're like, oh, I still kind of like that. All right, so what's the next step that I can do? But take it in really small, incremental baby steps. And, you know, just basically say to yourself, I'm going to date this idea for 3 months. And then if you still really are excited about it and it's something that feels good to you in your heart, it binds you more to the people that you love, and it makes sense to you, and it will start to sort of feel delicious, and then you can then you'll know that you've found a dream that probably makes sense for you to continue to pursue.
Wonderful. And I know that there are a lot of women who often get confused because they feel that you all often hear the phrase life purpose, you know, and that's so I feel sometimes that, you know, just those two words, life, what is your life purpose, can really restrict us, because you can have more than one dream, you know. You don't have to define yourself by some huge pivotal event that's supposed to take place in your life, that's supposed to change your life forever, and then boom, that's the finality of it. Dreams change, correct?
Absolutely, and you know, when you said that, life purpose, I kind of had this image come into my mind of, it's kind of like, you know, your one true love, your Prince Charming.
Uh-huh.
It's like we've almost gotten around dreams. We're treating them like we do sort of the one true love idea, and I think those are fairy tales, and sometimes we don't know what it is, and it finds us. I mean, like, when I went to New York, I didn't know that I wanted to work on Wall Street, but I went to work because I had to work, because we had to put food on the table, and then the dream finds you. And so I think that sometimes, you know, and especially for women, as we're kind of going through our lives and we're attending to this and attending to that, we start to find that as we build up competencies and we're leveraging our innate talents, the dream finds us. And and so we can have a life purpose to know that our life mattered, that we made a difference, and that the world was a better place because we lived here. But beyond that, everything else is sort of negotiable.
I know. I like that. Everything else is negotiable. Absolutely. So, ladies, for those of you that have just tuned in, we are talking with Whitney Johnson, best-selling author of the book Dare, Dream, Do. Remarkable things happen when you dare to dream. And Whitney is sharing just some wonderful things with us about pursuing our dreams and reaching higher. And for those of you who are listening, I hope that you are taking some good notes on this. And, of course, the book Dare, Dream, Do, I have it on my Kindle, which I love. But you can certainly go to Amazon.com. It is at your local bookstore. So I want to encourage everyone to pick up a copy of Dare, Dream, Do. And I know that it will start to work on your heart within and help you to understand why it's so important for you to dream. Whitney, you've shared with us about that starting process. I want to ask you, so once you've started the process, you've courted your dreams, you know, you've kind of you have filtered out, you know, one or two dreams that you're really, really interested in. What's that next phase? Do you start researching on what it will take to accomplish those dreams, to make those dreams come to reality?
Yeah, you can absolutely start researching, but I think sometimes, at least for me, because I'm a perfectionist and I try to be I'm trying to be a recovering perfectionist, but I don't know that you ever fully recover.
I
know that, you know, I apply actually the discovery-driven approach here as well. So, for example, you know, if I think to myself, okay, you know, let's talk about running a marathon, because I just wrote a blog post about this. I live in Boston. I decided I need to run a marathon next year as a symbol of my hope, that I will not let the terrorists sort of, you know, derail me. And but if I sat down and I said, okay, I'm going to run a marathon and I've got to run 26.2 miles tomorrow, it would be so overwhelming and so daunting, I would probably never run a step. So instead I say, okay, well, actually, today I just need to run a mile. And so I think it's the same where if you think to yourself, okay, I have a business idea. All right, well, what's a simple first step that I can do? I can see if I can talk about my business idea to two people in the next week and get their thoughts on it. Wow, that starts to feel really unoverwhelming. I get their feedback. And then I say to myself, okay, and then maybe I'll spend 10 minutes online to see if there's anybody out there who's doing something similar to what I am. And if I have the product, well, what color would it be? You know, and so just try to, whenever I'm talking to people and, like, thinking through that, I always try to pull back from the big picture to, like, the really small, what are your next one or two baby steps? And so what I would say is there's typically one or two things right in front of you you could do in the next 2 days, and then do those. And once you do those, then you'll know what to do next.
Absolutely. Let's talk about investing in your dreams, because this is something that I find that women have a problem with. You know, they'll invest in everyone else, but I find that women don't necessarily like, or they have a fear, and so they don't invest in their dreams. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's absolutely true that we don't. I think it definitely goes back to this idea of the psychology of when you invest in your dream, you're putting time and energy, and you're taking up space in the world. Your dream is, and so there's a piece of shame around that. So it's uncomfortable and awkward. So when we know that, I think that that's helpful. But one of the ways that I like to hack my way around that is to say to myself, okay, when I invest in my dreams, what am I really doing here? I am in a way, I'm investing in the world that I want. I am saying to myself and to the people around me, I'm going to do this because this dream that I have is part is about the world that I want to live in, the world I want the people I love to live in. And so by investing in myself to do this, I am making the world a better place. And so if we can kind of flip it on our head, on its head, then it can become about other people. The other thing that I do is that I will end up having some type of accountability partner, like as simple as saying to them, okay, I'm going to do, you know, make these three phone calls about my business idea in the next week and have my friend or accountability partner commit me to it. Because then when I do that, then it stops being about me, but about being accountable to and keeping my word to someone else, which women typically do pretty well also. So you know that you need to do it in your heart of hearts, but you also know that you feel shame around it. Okay, well, let's get rid of that shame because we know where that's coming from. And then you find some hacks that allow you to sort of tell yourself, this isn't just about me, this is about other people and about being accountable to and keeping my word to other people. And so that would be my advice on that front.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, how important is it to play to your strengths rather than your negatives when pursuing your dreams? Because, as I said before, I talk to a lot of women who have a tendency to just start off talking negative about what they don't have the capabilities to do, what they're not. So I know that thinking negatively can impact you, but in order to dream, talk about the strengths that we need to play off of.
Yeah. Well, first of all, so I would say part of the reason that we talk about what we do negatively or, you know, our weaknesses is because that's socially very safe. You know, if I say to you, I feel so fat, you know, I really need to lose weight, you know, I'm not feeling very good about myself. That feels really comfortable for you or anybody else to hear. Like you may be frustrated that I'm saying about that myself, but you're comfortable. Whereas if I go to you and say, you know what, I look awesome. Like I look so great in this outfit, and I feel so fantastic today. What's our initial reaction? We're like, wow, she's kind of full of herself. So one thing I would say is that when we start talking negatively, sometimes we do this, women do this, as a way of, like, protecting ourselves socially. It's a social protection. So I think we want to sort those two things out. But after that, I would say is that, you know, our dreams are going to come from our innate talents. They're going to come from what we've gotten good at because we've just done it a lot of times. And that might be, you know, we may be great at caregiving because we had to take care of our mother. And then they're going to come from our deeply held beliefs and then also, you know, I think from our feminine strengths as women. And so I think that if we look in those places for our dreams, we'll find that our weaknesses will come up on their own soon enough and we'll have to figure out how to compensate for them. I think focusing on the weakness is more kind of a social protection in some respects as much as anything.
Yes, absolutely. Now, you mentioned in the book that deeply held beliefs can put boundaries on our dreams. Please expand on that.
You want me to explain it? Is that what you said?
Well, yeah. Share your thoughts on that when you talk about how beliefs can put boundaries on our dreams.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll give a personal experience. I won't give a personal experience. I will if you want, but I'll give another one. So one of the women whose story is in the book, she's in her mid-30s, and So she was growing up, and she felt like she could be anything she wanted to. She could be a doctor, lawyer, singer, or writer, you know, whatever she wanted. But the one thing she couldn't be was that she couldn't be a homemaker, because society was telling her that caring for children, liking to cook, liking to sew, wanting to make a home was just something you didn't do. So she basically stepped that aside. And she didn't believe that that was something that she could do. So she goes and she gets degrees, she gets her bachelor's, she gets her master's, she gets another master's degree. Then she falls in love, she gets married, she has a baby, and then she's shocked because she discovers that she not only likes her baby, she loves her baby, and no, she not only loves her baby, she likes her baby, I should say, and she discovers that she really likes cooking. And so she focuses on really having, you know, a home where she wants to be a homemaker. And so that deeply held belief that she couldn't do that was actually getting in the way of her doing what she really wanted to do, which was to be a homesteader, if you will. And so that's one of the ways that our deeply held beliefs actually can put a bound, they can bound our dreams. And also, again, that idea of make us think that we're not willing to supersize our dreams, that we're constantly downsizing them. And so, you know, and then there's also sort of the religious belief, but I'd say that that's like one of the societal beliefs that really does influence how we dream and what we dream about.
Absolutely. And I talk about the importance of believing all of the time. And I have a term that I call unshakable faith, which is a belief so deeply rooted in yourself that it causes you to take swift and immediate action. And
when I love that.
When I read this, you know, when you talked about how beliefs can put boundaries on your dreams, they really, really can. And for all of you women who are listening, you do need to understand that sometimes you're going to have to go back and you're going to have to look at why you're not being more aggressive and pursuing your dreams. What beliefs are holding you back, and truly examine that. You also mentioned the fact that it's important to create a Dare to Dream team, that you don't have to be by yourself in doing all of this.
Right, absolutely.
That other people
absolutely
out there that can help you. So what is a Dare to Dream team?
I mean, I think the first thing is that we really don't dream very well in isolation, and so I think it's important to understand that. So there are a couple of different types of team members that we need. I think the first one we need is we need what I would call a champion, or what I also like to call, I don't know if you saw the movie The Blind Side or read the book The Blind Side, and how, you know, Michael Oher was the left tackle. Like, he always guarded someone's blind side. And I think we all need a person like that who just always has our back, like, no matter what. And I think that's an essential part of the Dare to Dream team. I think another part of the essential part is we need to have a few, at least one or two truth tellers around us that, you know, have our back, but we also know that they're willing to tell us, you know, the truth as they see it, whether it's good or bad. But we know that it always comes from a, you know, that they care about us. Then from there, what I'm finding is that we need to have people, that Dare to Dream team, it's oftentimes everyone we need to get done what we want to get done isn't within our immediate circle. They're going to be one or two or three degrees of separation away. And social media has been really helpful in helping us find those people, because we can get to 2 and 3 degrees of separation away. But then that becomes, those are the people that know how to do things that we don't know how to do, and things that we actually may not even be good at. And the best way to find those people is to be able to articulate very clearly what it is we're trying to get done, to be able to basically have an elevator pitch. Like, during this year, I want to, you know, I want to get a book written. I want to put a proposal in front of a publisher. Well, when you can start articulating that very clearly, then the people who are closest to you can repeat that to the second and third degree of separation people, and then you'll be able to start to assemble your Dare to Dream team.
Absolutely. And I might say that I know when I came up with our theme for the month, Dare to Dream, and I said, you know, I I always pray about the things and what I'm dealing with so that I can share with other women and they can learn from my own experiences. And I just said, Lord, you know, put the people in place who my listeners need to hear. And I just started searching on the internet for the word Dare to Dream. And, of course, I ran across you and then looked up your book, bought your book, and started reading it. And I thought, okay, I've got to have her on the show. And then I read, you know, that your book is a bestseller, and I thought, oh, I hope I can get her, you know, on the show. And I said, well, you know what, I'm not even going to go there with thinking that way. I'm just going to email her. And to my blessing, you responded promptly, and I want to thank you for that. Because so often when people write books and the book takes off and they're doing good things in life, sometimes, you know, there's a block there and you can't reach them. So I want to thank you for being you and for, you know, just saying, yes, Trina, I'd love to be on your show. Thank you for that. What do you feel about, you know, women asking, just going after what it is they want and asking, even if they don't know the person or even if they feel that the person is too far away to ask or if they're too famous or what have you, do you feel that they should just do it anyway? They should just make it happen?
I do. I think it's hard, though. I mean, again, you know, this is kind of an ongoing thread of what we just talked about, is that it's really hard to ask. And so I think it's important that we ask. And I think on the other side of that, I think it's important for us as women to understand that when someone asks, how hard it is for them. And so, for example, I'll give you a good example. The other day, you know, I had someone reach out to me and they said, you know, we would like you to come speak. And I said, you know, okay. And then I said, this is how much I charge. And I said, but I want, you know, this is how much I typically charge. But this is, you know, this is an organization I believe in, so I want you to know that it is okay if you negotiate with me. And she just said to me, oh, thank you for saying that, because I wanted to negotiate, but I didn't know if it was okay for me to negotiate. And so I think one of the things that we can do is we need to not only ask, but then understand that we're going to ask, and even if we get a no, it doesn't matter because we still asked. And when we ask, we're claiming our place in the world. And then as women on the other side, acknowledge that when someone asks us for something, they're probably going to do it kind of awkwardly because it's so uncomfortable, and to just be respectful of that. And we can say no, but we're still honoring that request by acknowledging that it was hard for that person to ask. So we need to respond, even if it's a no. So that would be the thing I would say, is we need to ask, but then we also need to respond.
Absolutely. And you know, again, you won't get an answer if you never ask.
That's right.
And I think we need to be pursuers of asking. And as women, we are not asking for what it is that we want enough. I definitely need to get this question in, because I know there are a lot of women out there with smaller school-aged children having guilt about pursuing their dreams. Do you have any advice for how they can overcome this? Again, we talked about a little bit, but I know that there are women who feel just so guilty if they should do anything else other than cook, clean, and take care of the kids.
Right. So what I would say there is two things. One, and I just keep having this come back up to me, so I'm going to say this because you mentioned the idea of whenever you start a show, you always pray about it. And so two things I would say is, first of all, one of the ways you can know what your deeply held beliefs are without realizing what they are is to look at the quotes that you love and songs that you love. And one that I have always loved that has stayed with me since I was like 13 years old was something from Stevie Wonder in Songs from the Keys of Life, I think is how it goes. And he says, you can bet your life and that, and twice it's double, that God knew exactly where he wanted you to be placed. And that's something that's always been so meaningful for me, because it reminds me that where I am and what I'm doing and what I desire to do matters. And that's really important for me. And so what I would then say to your question about the guilt is, not only does what I do or you do matter, but if we care about our children, if we really care about our children and we want our children to dream and we want our children to believe that it is their privilege to dream, we must dream ourselves. Because Again, Carl Jung said the greatest influence on a child is the unlived life of a parent. If we don't dream, our children will not know how to dream. They
wow.
need to know how to dream. And so I would say if you're feeling guilty, if you want to stop feeling guilty, and in fact you must stop feeling guilty, because if you don't dream, your children will not know how to. They simply won't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I hope all of you moms listening will latch on to that and understand how important it is for you to take the initiative to dream so that your children will be dreamers as well. Whitney, this is just so fantastic, and I can't believe that it's already 12:50. The hour is moving by so fast, but I always like to ask every person that comes on the show, what does success mean to you? And so if you could answer that.
That's a great question, and I'm going to give you some of the stuff. I'm going to give you an honest answer, which is it's a lot of different things. There are pieces of it, like success means to me, you know, having a New York Times bestseller at some point, and at some point producing a documentary, and those are
uh-huh.
all important things to me. But
uh-huh.
if I really think down and dig deeper, I think that some of what success will mean for me is that because I was in the world, people felt inspired to dream. Another piece of success will mean that I'm never stuck. I'm always getting unstuck and moving forward. And then
mm-hmm.
another piece of success, which I have less control over, but is to have a relationship with my children such that when they're grown and gone, they still want to have a relationship with me, and they still
oh,
want
yes.
to be home, and they want to be here. And
mm-hmm.
I think that if all those things are in place, then I'll be happy. And if I'm happy, then that I will die happy, and that's success.
Wonderful, wonderful. That's beautiful. Last but not least, if you can, please share 3 wisdom tips for women who want to dare to dream.
Ah, okay. The first would be is do not dare not to dare. That's C.S. Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that you dare, and if you're scared to do this, you're supposed to be scared, and so that means you're on the right path. So dare
okay.
to disrupt the status quo. Number 2 is dream your very own dream. Find the dream that's your dream and dream that, and it's likely going to be not what you think it is because you've been listening to other people. So listen to
mm-hmm.
yourself. And then the third piece is just to do, and so what I would advise you to do is, as you've been listening to the call today and listening to Trina and to me, there's likely been one thing that's flipped through your mind of like, maybe I need to do that. Write that down and do that one thing within the next 24 hours. And then you've started that path of rewiring your brain.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. I really, really like that. Whitney, I want to just keep going with talking to you, but we've come kind of to the end of this particular show, but I do want to invite you back, and if you could, let our listeners know how they can stay in touch with what you're doing, your works on Dare Dream Do. I know that you have a blog. Please share that with them.
The easiest way to find me is I have a website. It's WhitneyJohnson.com. So that's the easiest way. You can find me on Twitter at Johnson Whitney or LinkedIn at Whitney Johnson, and that's probably the best way to find me. I've got a newsletter that you can sign up for, and I'd love to hear from you.
Oh, wonderful. Now, I know you're going to come back on the show, right, because I know there's some other things that you'll want to share with our listeners. So I'm definitely going to stay connected. I'm going to continue to read on in the book. And I want to just give one more quote from the book that I really like what it says. It says, you say here, if we make grand plans and get on with executing them, our dreams will find us. Suit up and show up. We might not learn to dream until we're grown, but if we show up, our dreams will too. Isn't that beautiful, Whitney? That's just beautiful.
Thank you.
And thank you for that. And again, I want to encourage our listening audience to make sure you go out and get your copy of Dare Dream Do. And ladies, one of the things that we can do best for our friends, for family members, and others that we know are trying to make it happen in this world is to share with them. This is perfect. The Dare Dream Do book is perfect for college graduation, high school graduation. It's perfect for giving to those individuals that you know are inspiring to be more in life. And that's what it's all about, us helping one another. Whitney, I would like to thank you from the bottom of my heart for giving us this time today and for blessing us with your wisdom on Dare Dream Do. And I look so forward to getting to know you through your works and through your blog and staying in connection with you. Thank you again for being on the show.
Thank you, Trina. It's been a pleasure.
Wonderful. Take care.
Bye-bye.
And we've just listened to Whitney Johnson, author of the book, Dare, Dream, Do. And ladies, when I tell you it's a really good book, it really is. You're going to find yourself like me, shaking your head up and down at a lot of things that you're reading in the book and what the book is saying. Don't hang up that phone. If you're listening via telephone, don't click off yet because we have some more good stuff for you. I wanted to share some of the things that are going on over at womenaboutbiz.com. Coming up on May 9th, we have the teleclass, The Power of Follow-Up. Again, The Power of Follow-Up coming up on May 9th. We've had one teleclass that was very well received. I got some great emails from people that said that they are already putting some of the things they've learned into place. So if you want to learn how to develop a follow-up system based on your business industry, how to automate your follow-up utilizing online tools, how to implement your follow-up system, then this is a teleclass that you really need to take. One of the things about follow-up that I have learned is that out of all of the things that go in together to create a good success recipe, if there is no follow-up, the cake just won't taste good, okay? So you need to have a well-thought-out follow-up plan, and each person's business may have a different follow-up plan, and so I get into that in the teleclass. So, again, the date is Thursday, May 9th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and you can register for that by going to womenaboutbiz.com, holding your mouse over events, and then, of course, from there, you will find the teleclass. The next teleclass is something dear to my heart. I've been really working on this, ladies, and got some good stuff to share with you. And the title is How to Focus on Making Money. How to Focus on Making Money on Wednesday, May 15th at 12 noon. Here's the thing. Are you generating the income that you would like? Do you feel like you're spinning your wheels and wasting your time with certain opportunities? And are you interested in truly learning how to better focus on what makes you money? Then this is something that I want to share with you. The 5 mistakes women make in choosing a business opportunity, the mindset you need to see right now money, okay? There's a certain mindset that you have to have, getting the you out of the way. Yes, ladies, I think many times we are in our own way, and it's time that we learn to get out of the way. And then, of course, it's all about the lifestyle you want. You know, a lot of women have a hard time putting into words why they start a business or why they want to do a certain thing. But at the end of the day, it's really about the lifestyle. There's a certain lifestyle that we want to have, and in order to have that lifestyle, it's going to require a certain type of income. And that is going to be very important. So what I have learned is that we really need to start paying closer attention to the type of lifestyle. And then we're going to talk about working smarter, not harder, and then learn about the new rich that Tim Ferriss talks about in his book, The 4-Hour Work Week. So, again, I want to encourage you to register for these teleclasses. You can go to womenaboutbiz.com, and then again, up in the top red menu bar, click on events, and from there you'll be able to find these particular event listings. After this brief musical intro, you'll hear the inspiration and affirmation for the week. Wonderful to have others that believe in you and support all that you do. ladies, there is one person that you that must believe in you more than any other. And who is that? That person is you. Believing in yourself in a positive way that will give you electrifying energy to take action is necessary for dream accomplishment. Know that all that you need to do, all that you need to have is within you already, and all you have to do is look inward and find your inner strength, your inner partner in making all of your dreams come true. I want to again repeat the affirmation that we have had basically for this month, and that is, no one else has my success DNA, for it was given to me at birth. Therefore, I will put aside all fears, all procrastination, and all naysayers, and take swift and immediate action on my dreams and goals. Again, make sure you visit SuccessfulWomanRadio.com. You can listen to our broadcast that we have had previously. Today's show will be up later this week. And also pay attention to our show notes and affirmation as well. I've enjoyed being with you today and pray that the information shared has motivated and inspired you this month to move forward with your dreams and your goals. Again, I want to thank Whitney Johnson, who is the author of the book Dare Dream Do, and I want you to make sure you mark your calendar for next Monday, May 6th at 12 noon, so that you can get your dose of inspiration and motivation. This is your host and success coach, Trina Newby, saying success is yours for the taking. Ladies, have a productive and powerful week.